the Great Commission.
Thank you. We've been going through this sermon series called The Greatest Investment. And the greatest investment that the Bible tells us is not, we're not talking about our own investment, but we're talking about God's investment. God's invested in his own glory. God wants to see more and more people come to have a relationship with him, because there are so many people in the world that still don't have a relationship with him. And just as we saw in the video, there are so many people in the world that don't even have the opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ. God is invested in restoring the world unto himself. And he calls God, his own people, God calls the church to be involved in blessing this world. We've learned through our series that we are blessed to be a blessing. And the way that we are a blessing is by introducing people to come to know who our God is. Now, as we think about this idea of wanting to bring this gospel, wanting to bless people by making disciples, as we think about these things that we've talked about already in the past few weeks, perhaps for some of you, you've been thinking about how difficult a task this is. It's such a big task. And so the question is, how do we tackle this big task? How do we do that? Because it's just so difficult for just one of us or a few of us or even one church to even think about, even begin to think about, how do we get started in accomplishing the greatest commission, the Great Commission, the command that God has given to us. So our sermon title for today is Your Job Description. And so why don't we turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8 to answer this question. How do we begin even to get involved in what God is doing in this world? So let's open up our Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. If you have one of these Bibles from the outside, you can turn this Bible to page 948. Page 948. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. This is the reading of God's word. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Amen. So as we think about that question of like, how do we accomplish this big task of bringing the gospel to the world? How do we accomplish this work of blessing people around the world, especially in places where people have not heard about the gospel and they don't know the joy of having a relationship with God? James, I'm going to take control of these slides so you can just leave that. Thank you. And so as we think about that, when we look at today's passage, the idea is that, you know, if we're all called to go and do this, then we're all going to get involved, and maybe through that somehow some of these things are going to get done. But some of us, we might feel, well, I'm not very good at speaking with people. Or some of us, we might feel, well, I'm not very good at learning a language. Or some of you might feel, I'm not very good at this or that. And you might have your own reason why you say, well, I'm just not sure about this. What am I supposed to do? Well, as we look to today's passage, the answer is that God has given us gifts, different kinds of gifts. God has given us different roles to play in being a part of this great commission, in being a part of seeing the gospel go forth. And so all of us can get involved with the different gifts that God has given to us. And so today's title is Your Job Description. For all Christians, your job title is, since you are blessed, you're called to be a blesser. That's your job title. As Christians, we're called to go out and bless. But what does that look like? What is your job description? Well, for each of us, it might be a little bit different from one person to another. And our Bible verse talks about how we have different gifts that God has given to us. And so according to that, we go out. Our goal is to bless. That's what we're supposed to do. But each of us might end up doing that a little bit differently. The main focus, as I've written up here, the main focus is to bless, to make disciples, so that we can achieve the kingdom goals of seeing God glorified. So the main idea for today is God has gifted all of you to be a blessing together. God has gifted each of you, all of you that are believers in Jesus Christ, God has gifted you so that you can be a blessing, but not just by yourself, so that you can be a blessing, so that we can be a blessing together. The three points that we're going to go through today are, number one, gifted to be a blessing. Number two, gifted by the blesser. And number three, gifted as a body. Again, the main idea is God has gifted all of you to be a blessing together. And the three points are gifted to be a blessing. Number two, gifted by the blesser. And number three, gifted as a body. As we look at today's passage, what we find is that, first of all, we have to start off with the idea that we, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are one body. We are one unit. We see that in verses 4 through 5, it talks about this idea. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And so the first thing that I want to point out in understanding that we are gifted to be a blessing is that we together, being one body, are gifted to be a blessing. Now here's the second thing. The thing that this passage points out very clearly is that I want you to know that we are one body, but we have different members. We have different people. All of us are different. We have different backgrounds. We have different gifts. We have different skills. We have different things about our personalities and things that we've experienced in our lives. And so there are many members. There are many members in this one body. So again, in the passage it says, for as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Here it's very interesting when it talks about at the very end of verse 5 that we are individually members one of another. It's wanting to emphasize that, yes, we are different, and yet Paul is saying here, I want you to know that the gifts that you have is so that we can be a blessing to one another, and so that together we can be a blessing to this world. What it means is that we need each other. A different way that Paul talks about it in another book is in Ephesians 4. He mentions in verses 15 and 16, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Christ is our head. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. When each part, when every member is doing its part, when every person is doing their role, living out their part in the church, living out their part in as a Christian within Taipei, when every person is living out what God has given them to do, then what ends up happening is that the body grows and it continues to build itself up in love. And then later on in that chapter in Ephesians 4, it says this, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." There's that same wording, one of another. And again, once again, the idea is that we are gifted to be a blessing, and so that we together as a body, we're going to bless one another, and we're going to be able to grow in love. And when we grow in love in this way, we end up blessing this world also. As we share God's love with one another here, as we each play our part, we also end up blessing the world. As we receive God's love, we're able to love. So let's focus a little bit on that gifting. You are gifted to be a blessing. In verses 6 through 8 of today's passage, it says, "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. And if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." What we see here is a list of possible gifts. This is not a complete list, because what we find in other passages, so for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or in Ephesians 4 that we just saw, in another part of Ephesians 4, we see a list of gifts. And so this is not a complete list, but it's just giving some examples of what possible gifts there may be. Some gifts are supernatural. Some gifts are gifts that we can't just try to do through training. But then there are also gifts that are given by God that are natural. Like if your gift is service, like serving people, right? Does a person need a supernatural experience with God in order to be able to serve in this way? No, not necessarily. Does a person need a supernatural experience, a supernatural power to be able to teach? Not necessarily. Does someone need to be supernaturally gifted in giving so that they would contribute and do it generously? Not necessarily. God calls all of us to be involved in that in some way. And so here's the thing. All of us have gifts that are given by God. And the way that we can understand gifts are sometimes it might be a supernatural gift. Sometimes maybe it might be a situation where you are able to do something that you weren't able to do before. But perhaps a lot more times, your gifts include all of your experiences, all of your hobbies, all of your skills, the type of work that you do. All of these things that we can do in our lives, maybe even your experience as a parent, maybe even your experience as a worker in a particular field of work, all of these things can contribute to how God has guided you all throughout your life, even if you weren't a Christian before. God has been guiding you so that you can become a Christian the way that you are today, to be used by God, using everything that God has given to you. Again, your experiences, your skills, everything, your hobbies. God can use that for his glory. And so here's a question. What are your gifts? What are the ways that God has blessed you? What is your job about? What hobbies do you have? All of those things, even if you feel like you have nothing, all of those things that you are can be used by God for his glory, to be used to bless and to make disciples. So God has gifted us, each and every one of you, to be a blessing. And we want to remember that in our second point that God has gifted us, it was God that gifted us. We have to acknowledge this. It's not because your parents pushed you to go to a certain school. It's not because you accidentally ended up meeting a certain person and you were able to get that job. It's not because you have a certain personality and so that's why people like you more and that's why you're able to do a certain type of job or you have a certain type of skill. God is the one that has blessed you. God is the blesser. We are gifted by this blesser. And if God is the one that has blessed us in this way, then we would want to use all that God has given to us for his glory. In verse 6 of today's passage, it says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Now, sometimes we might look at this passage and we might think, well, you know, you, pastor, maybe God has given you a lot of grace, and so you're able to do what you're doing. But for me, God has not given me a lot of grace, and so I'm not able to do as much as you do, pastor. And so when we look at this verse, when we read, according to the grace given to us, we might start to think, well, maybe some people have more grace and some people have less grace, and so depending on how much grace God has given to us, we're able to do more or less. But I'm not quite sure. Well, I should say it this way. I don't think that's what this wording is saying. Earlier in the passage that we didn't read, in verse 3, it says this. This is Paul speaking. Paul says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. What is this saying? Paul himself is saying that he has received grace and that he's able to share with the people, let's be humble. Why? Not because God has given to us different measures of grace, but because God has given to us his grace. We are not deserving of his love and his grace. We are all sinners and we fail to live up to God's standard. But in spite of who we are, God has decided to show his love to us. God has shown his grace to us. And so if I realize that I am not deserving of this life, of this relationship with God, if I realize that I am not deserving of even any of the gifts that God has given to me, I'm not deserving, then that will help us to be humble and heed what Paul is saying here, to not think of yourself as more highly than you ought. Don't think of yourself, humble yourself, but at the same time, remember that you are a child of God, and that you have been blessed. So you can think of yourself as a person that has been blessed, but not beyond where you begin to think, well, this is because of my life, because of this, because these are the choices that I've made, and you begin to give credit to yourself. No, remember, we are gifted by the blesser, and it's not because of what we were able to accomplish through our own lives. Why is this important? Why do we talk about this idea that it's God who has blessed us and that he has given us grace and how we need to begin to live out our lives according to the grace that God has given to us? Why is this important? Because it's so easy for us to forget that it's God that has gifted us. And it's very easy for us to begin to think that I was able to make myself be who I am today. And when we think in this way and we encounter passages like this, some questions begin to come to our minds. For example, as we hear this passage and we hear about how God has given these gifts and we're supposed to use our gifts for the Lord, some of you guys might ask the question, I don't know what my gifts are. I don't know if I could be used by God. I'm not even aware what they are. And so if that's you, it's kind of like saying, maybe for some of you, it might be something like, I don't feel like I'm good at anything. But when a person thinks this way, they're setting their eyes so much on themselves and thinking about, you know, am I able to be used by God? The answer is, remember, Christ has gone through great lengths to have a relationship with you. Jesus Christ, even though you sinned against him, even in this moment of doubting that you're able to be used by God, even in this moment when you're sinning against God, doubting, and you're focusing your eye on yourself, in that moment, Jesus Christ is responding to you and saying, I died for how you sinned against me, how you take your eyes off of me. I died for you so that we can have this relationship, and I have given you this gift. I've gifted you. So why are you doubting that you are not good enough to serve me? That your life and your experiences and your skills and whatever you do, whatever your hobbies are, why are you doubting that this is not good enough to be used by me for my glory? Some of you guys might respond by saying, well, maybe I do know what my gifts are, but is this something that can be used for God? I don't know. Is this something that is important enough? Is this somehow related to what God is doing? And in that same breath, perhaps what you're saying is that I don't know if my skills and what I'm doing is good enough. It's the same kind of response with what we just talked about. I don't know if what I'm doing right now, and I think that maybe this is what God has gifted me with, but I don't know if this is important enough. I don't know if I'm good enough. And again, we focus our eyes on ourselves and not on God. But if we turn back to God and look at what God says once again is, I love you to the point of dying for you and having this relationship with you. And I want you to know that I have shown grace to you. Yes, you acknowledge that you're not good enough, but I have made you good enough. I want you to know that you are important to me and I am working in your life. And so don't doubt that whatever you have can be used for my glory. Some of you might respond by saying, I'm doing my best. But it sucks when other people aren't. We're supposed to be one body, right? But I can't function properly as a body part if another body part is not functioning properly. And so we might end up criticizing others and thinking that they're not doing their part. What's going on deeper when we do something like that? What's going on is that we're saying, at least I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing what's right. I'm good enough. But look at those people. They're not good enough. What are they doing? Why aren't they living for God? And we begin to criticize. And we begin to think those people are wrong. But look at me. I'm so good. I'm so good. And in that moment, we could be reminded, Jesus saying, look, don't you remember? You're not good enough. You think you're so great? No, remember that I have given you grace. Think of yourself according to the grace that I've given to you. Remember where you were and how I rescued you. What great lengths I went through to rescue you. Remember that I have given you grace. Some of you guys might respond by saying, I've done a lot. I'm tired. I don't know if I could continue on. But here's the thing. Jesus says, look, you're depending on yourself again. You're depending on your own strength again. Don't you know that I have the gift, I have the ability to even gift you with strength in this moment? The reason why you feel tired is not because you're depending on me and you just feel tired. The reason why you feel tired is because you're depending on your own self and your own ability to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. Even if it's for me, you're depending on your own ability. And Jesus says, look, I have this relationship with you. And I am gifting you with strength and energy that you need for this day. I'm giving you exactly what you need for today. Trust me, you will be able to do what I'm calling you to do. And it might even be where Jesus says, look, even though you feel like you're tired and you don't want to do that kind of work anymore, or you see other people doing a certain work, but you feel like there's a need here and nobody's doing that, Jesus might even be saying, I've gifted you in this way in the past, but I want to gift you now in a different way and use you for a different purpose. And so it's not like I've discovered my gift and now I can serve God with my gift. It's not that. Because there's a temptation for us to hold on to that idea of that gift and then begin to rely on that gift and think that it's because I have this gift that I'm able to do something. No. God will give you what you need and even the gift that you need in that moment so that whatever situation you're in, God will be able to use you. And so that gives us the freedom to be flexible, to not just hold on to one gift, but to think and learn from God and think, God, I'm totally available for you. Whatever you want me to do in this moment, I'm available to do that. Even if it means just moving chairs or cleaning the bathroom. These are typical church examples, right? Cleaning the bathroom. Even if it means that you want me to just say hello to the person that's sitting next to me that I don't know. Lord, I'm willing to be available with whatever conviction and with whatever gift that you've given to me, I will use that for your glory. Christ is our head, and he commands us to live out your particular role with the gifts that he's given to you to be a blessing. God has blessed us. We are gifted by the blesser. And we come to our third point today. We are gifted together as a body to accomplish this goal. Now, here's the thing. We may have our different roles. We may have our different job descriptions. We may have our different gifts. But the thing is, all of us here, all of us can have a certain role that we play together. We are gifted together as a body. Let me share with you what I'm talking about. All of us here can fall into one of these categories here. You can be a goer, you can be a sender, or you can be a mobilizer. A goer is a person that goes and actually does certain things. A sender is a person that provides all the resources to be able for that person to be able to go and do that thing. A mobilizer is a person that goes around and says, hey guys, let's get involved. Let's get involved. I think you can be a goer. I think you could be a sender. You know, let's go. What do you think you can be? What do you think you can do? What are your gifts? I see this gift in you. And a mobilizer keeps pointing people back to Jesus Christ and saying, let's go and live for the Lord. And so I want to ask you, do you see yourself as a goer, a sender, or a mobilizer? If we talk about it in terms of global terms, God wants us to be a blessing globally. God wants us to be involved in missions around the world. Even if we're here in Taiwan in this church, God wants each of you to be involved in his global work. And you can be a goer. Perhaps God is asking you, or not asking, but maybe God is commanding you to go for him to a different country and to live for him. And so I want to ask you to even ask that question to yourself, or to go before God and ask the question to God. This might be a scary question to ask, but maybe you could try asking this question to God. God, would you have me go to the nations for you? God, are you calling me to leave my home, leave my country, and go to another country for you? Or Lord, would you have me leave Taiwan, where I've been for the past few years, where I've gotten comfortable here? Lord, would you have me leave this place to go to another place to live for your glory? Maybe God is calling you to be a goer globally. Maybe God is calling you to be a sender. You can use your finances. You can use your resources. You can use whatever you have to be able to continue to promote global missions, because we want to see people go to the unreached people groups, right? We want to see the gospel continue to spread. And so you can be a sender, or you can be a mobilizer, continually learning about what's going on around the world and sharing with people. This is what's happening in China. This is what's happening in India. This is what's happening in Uganda, in Cambodia. This is what's happening around the world. So let's continue to support what's going on in this world. And are you willing to go yourself? We need mobilizers also. Maybe God is calling us, not maybe, but God is calling us to be involved globally, but also locally. And so I think about this idea of, you know, when we're talking about locally, we can be a goer, we can be a sender, and we can also be a mobilizer locally. But wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if people can get together from one particular field of work? Like, just for example, what if all the business people got together in our church? What if we had a meeting with all the business people, and all the business people started talking about, you know, how can we, in the different areas that we're in as business people, how can we continue to promote what is good and right and fair for our employees, for our clients? How can we continue to spread the gospel and be a light for God's glory in our workplaces? Wouldn't that be cool if we could do something like that? Or what if all the teachers got together? Or what if all the medical people that are in the medical field got together and started talking about these things? How can we continue to be a blessing to our students? What's the best way that we can do that? And we start dialoguing with each other. We are called to be blessers. God has gifted us to go and be a blessing. God has gifted you with your particular work, with your particular skills, with your particular hobbies to go and be a blessing. And we can do that together. One of the things that I'm hoping to promote in our church is that through our community groups, we want to see each of our community groups as like potential church plants. We're not saying that every community group needs to become a new church. That's not what we're saying. But what we're saying is that it would be great if every single community group acts and lives out the community group life as if it was its own church. And one part of that would be to do outreach, to continue to do evangelism, and to continue to go and help the orphan and the widow, the sick and the poor. And so one of the things that I'm hoping that we can do at our church is that I'm asking each of the community groups to do one outreach event each quarter, whether to go and feed the homeless or to help boxing shoes to be sent to Africa. There's a particular organization in Linco that does that. Or whether it be to go visit the orphans that are here in Taiwan. But wouldn't it be cool if we could do that together? God desires us to be involved in his work with each of our skills and with each of our particular roles and gifts that he's given to us. God has blessed you to be a blessing. God has gifted you to be a blessing. God has gifted you. It's him who is the blesser. And God has gifted all of us as a body. And the way that we can move forward and really see God's kingdom come and his will be done is to adopt this idea of a wartime lifestyle. The basic idea of a wartime lifestyle is that, well, let me talk about what life is like when there's peace time. When there's peace time, everyone's just focused on how they can advance, how they themselves can advance in society. People are focused on just growing their families. People are just focused on what's going on in their own lives. And people become very, very individualistic and perhaps selfish. But when we're at wartime, there's a specific goal to fight against the enemy. And the people can come together with a similar mindset, and they put in all their resources, and they're willing to go through uncomfortable situations because they're wanting to give more money into the effort of winning the war, or they're wanting to give more of their time, and they're volunteering, and maybe they're getting their children involved, and even willing to go through a little bit of an uncomfortable lifestyle so that that goal can be done. And so there's one story of a wartime lifestyle, a person that was wanting to live that wartime lifestyle. And this person said, you know, we're gonna do budgeting in our family. And we're going to figure out exactly how much we need to live each day and to live month to month. And we're not gonna give ourselves so little so that we feel we're so poor, but we're not going to give ourselves so much, but we're going to have a good amount. Whatever that amount is, we're going to find what that good amount is, and we're going to budget it, and we're going to ask God to provide for us for that amount. But whatever excess we get, we're going to begin to give that to the Lord, towards the church, towards missions, whatever. We want to give whatever excess we get to the Lord. And there's this one person that prayed that kind of prayer, and they decided to live that kind of life. And it started off with only giving 1% of their income to the Lord. But then it grew and grew, and they're able to give 10%, and then they're able to give 50%, even up to 90% at some point. And this person was making millions of dollars, and they were still keeping that same lifestyle. They didn't change how much money they used on themselves. But because they had so much excess, they decided to use all of that and give it towards missions, give it towards God's kingdom work. Isn't that an incredible story? Now, what if we were all to have that kind of mindset as we set our goal on God's glory and wanting to see Jesus Christ return, praying together, his kingdom come and his will be done, and wanting to see more and more people blessed by having a relationship with God? Wouldn't that be wonderful? The only way that we could really do this is by remembering what Jesus Christ has done for us. He has blessed us. He has given our lives value. He has given us everything that we need to be a blessing. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for your wonderful truth that you have gifted us to be a blessing to this world. And I pray, dear Lord, that you'd be working in each of our lives, that we would see this wonderful vision, this wonderful this picture of being able to live for you and your kingdom. I thank you, dear Lord, for all that you're doing in each of our lives. I pray that you will continue to guide us for your glory. I pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Why don't we go right into giving of our offering? And I just want to remind everyone here that if you are a newcomer to our church, or if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, please feel no obligation to give at this time. For the rest of us, it's a way that we continue to remember that God really has gifted us, and we want to give accordingly. So why don't we pray together? Father, I thank you so much for how you have really given us all that we need. And Lord, I do pray that you would just guide our hearts, that we would realize and remember that you are providing for us all that we need. And so that when we give now, that we would give with such gladness and joy. Pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Breaks the power of